say you will love me if I have to go. You'll be thinking of me. Somehow I will know.
Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. 50 years ago this Thursday, the Beatles took the stage for the first and only time in Milwaukee. It was in 1964 on their first U.S. tour that the Fab Four played a show at the Milwaukee Arena, now known as the UWM Panthers Arena. It was a huge moment in the city's cultural history and an even bigger moment for the people who were there, such as Bob Berry. At the time, he was a disc jockey at WOKY Radio, and he was the man who introduced the Beatles on stage. His memories and those of a few of the fans in attendance are part of a documentary airing on Milwaukee Public Television this evening. Bob Berry and documentary producer, director, and writer Raul Galvan are with us in the studio now. Welcome to you both.
Thank you
for having us.
So let's go back to 1964 here. You were at WOKY and in the position of being the first guy to spin a Beatles record on the air in this city. But I gather your arm had to be twisted just a little bit.
That's right. Music director said, look, I want you to listen to this new record that just came in. She put it on the turntable. And it was I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I said, boy, I don't know. I said, I'm not sure about this one. And she said, look, trust me. And she opened up Cashbox and Billboard, the industry magazines, and said, look at how they in Europe. They're the biggest things ever. You got to try. I tell you what, just play it on your show tonight and see what kind of reaction you get. So I did, and the reaction was incredible. And I said, oh, I guess I was wrong on that one.
This is sort of another era of radio when playing a record would result in dozens of phone calls to the switchboard.
Yes, we would premiere, we called it. We'd premiere these new records as they came in, whether they were Rolling Stones or the Dave Clark Five, and they were all hot at that time, too. That was a big year for all of the British acts. The Dave Clark Five had been in Milwaukee before the Beatles were here, and they caused a riot at George Devine's ballroom at the Eagles Club. And so this is a thing that we would do and get the reaction and find out which records we should play.
And so it didn't take much to figure out that the Beatles were going over well.
Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal success right away.
Well, and I think the documentary points out that the record it was displacing on the U.S. charts was by the Singing Nun, right?
It had been the last hit, according to Joel Whitmer.
That's right.
Album.
And do any of you know which song actually knocked the Beatles out of number one?
Mm-mm.
It was Hello, Dolly by Louis Armstrong.
So really, Top 40 radio was all over the map in the early 60s.
Oh, yeah. Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Rosemary Clooney, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard. It was just a complete smorgasbord,
Well, and for maybe it's hard for younger people today to imagine, though, there were points at which the top five records on the Billboard charts were all Beatles songs.
That's right. It's the only time that has ever happened in the history of music in the United States and anywhere else.
So the Beatles start developing a following here, and then you are called on to be the guy on stage to introduce them when the concert is scheduled. But again, you didn't really jump at the idea.
That's right. I emceed the Dave Clark Five show when they were here. I emceed the Rolling Stones. I was paid $250. The other acts from the United States, like Paul Revere and the Raiders, I was paid $150.
That's good money.
That was great money at that time. And in fact, another radio announcer at the at the premiere the other day said, "Hey, we don't even get that today." So I asked him, they call me in and they asked me to MC the show, and I said, "How much does it pay?" And they said, "Well, we're not paying any of the disc jockeys on the entire tour of the United States." So I thought for just a second. I said, "Well, I think I'll take a pass then." So I said, "Okay," and hung up. And the music director said, "What was that all about?" And I said, "Well, it was Frank Fried from Triangle Productions in Chicago, and he wants me to emcee the Beatles show." Well, she said, "But what did you say?" And I said, "Well, they're not paying anything." So I said, "I'll take a pass." She said, "You got to be out of your mind. You know, call him back and tell him that you'll." And once again, she showed me Billboard, Cashbox, and said, "Hey, they're the hottest thing in the country. You got to do this." I said, okay. So I called him back, and he said, well, we already called someone else at WRIT, but I'll call him back and tell him that you're going to MC it, and he'll introduce the warm-up acts and then introduce you.
I mean, these were pretty good warm-up acts, but they were not the Beatles.
Right, right. And then can you imagine introducing someone from an opposing station? that was tough for him to do.
Yeah. Raoul Galvan, in producing this documentary, you found a good number of people who were at that concert. How hard was it to find people with really strong memories of that era?
Well, we put out a Facebook call on the MPTV page, on my personal page, and then a couple people distributed on their pages. And it was surprisingly easy to find people. I think people who went to the Beatles concert in Milwaukee in 1964 are really proud and realize that they were at a somewhat historic event, and they loved to talk about it. as Bob would tell you, he talks to people all the time. And even since we were – since we had stopped taping because we were started to edit, we kept – getting a couple of more calls because, I got a call from a lady in California asking me if the DVD would be available for sale because she had been married and had a wedding reception at the Coach House Inn on the 5th, the day after the Beatles were there. And she says a lot of her guests, several of her guests actually met them or saw them walk away. So people have all kinds of recollections.
Some of them may have saw her standing there.
Exactly.
Very good, Mitch. There are things that happened at the Coach House, and like for instance, the press conference.
Right. There's this great picture of you like kneeling in front of the Beatles table at the press conference.
WOKY didn't have a microphone stand, so I was holding the microphone. But what amazed me, and I told Raoul that when we went back there to the room where the press conference, it's the same today as it was 50 years ago. Their room is exactly the same as it was. The room down the hall where we took the picture of the five of us, that's exactly the same as it was 50 years ago. So we go to the Milwaukee Arena. That's the same as it was 50 years ago. So it's called the UW Panther Arena now.
And the Coach House Inn is called Mashuda Hall.
Mashuda Hall, that's right. It's a Marquette dorm.
And in fact, Raoul, you found a big Beatles fan among the Marquette students who live there. And I imagine there's a fairly small number of them with Beatles posters on their walls.
I know. We were freaked out. We were introduced to Sarah, who was a resident, an
RA. Yeah.
And I said, can we talk to you for a couple of minutes? And she took us into her room, and on the walls were Beatles posters. It's like, very bizarre. She knew about the story, but it wasn't as vivid until Bob explained to her and showed her and gave her a couple pictures, and she was really cute.
I gather people aren't sure exactly which room the Beatles stayed in, or even if they slept at all that night.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I don't know why they don't put a plaque in there. I mean, that
exactly.
would be kind of neat,
You found some great clippings as well from the days leading up to the show. There were articles in which child development experts tried to convince parents not to let their kids go to the show. What was that all about?
Apparently there was a negative. I mean, Bob had commented to me, not on the documentary, but that he got some nasty phone calls from parents back in the day. But there was some negative reaction towards the Beatles because of the big change that they brought about, and mostly because of the behavior they provoked in the young ladies who went to the shows.
What did the parents tell you when they called you?
Well, they just thought that this was music that their young people should not hear, and I don't quite understand that, because what's wrong with "She Loves You"? I want to hold your hand. If I fell in love with you, they were all innocent love songs. Maybe it was the hints of some drugs, of their lifestyle, and there were a lot of rumors, and the Beatles even mentioned that in the press conference, that they were really upset with the magazines and the newspapers that were spreading a lot of rumors that weren't true.
Many parents criticized you. Is there anything wrong with parents?
Well, yes. Yes, there could be.
Do you think their disapproval makes the teenagers like you more?
I think we've got the majority of the parents as well, actually.
Yeah, you know, a lot of parents don't mind us, actually.
They write a lot of letters, too.
Well, we get letters from people about 90, you know. Honestly.
Raul, you talked with this big variety of people. The crowd obviously was mostly young girls who went, but you found some males who had been there as well. This was not an acoustically perfect concert.
anything but. You know, obviously sound reinforcement back in those days isn't what it is today. And the constant of everyone we spoke to was that could not hear the band. You could hear the screams. You could hear selected chords here and then. One woman told us she knew when Ringo was singing boys,
yeah,
because she saw him move his lips. But otherwise, she wouldn't have known anything was going on. In fact, there's Bob suggested that John Lennon might have not sung a lot because he had
laryngitis.
Well, and Bob, I think there were, four opening acts. What was the atmosphere at the arena by the time you were on stage to actually introduce the Beatles?
Okay, first I was at the press conference, which started around 7 o'clock. So by the time I got to the arena, the warm-up acts were already underway. And Jackie DeShannon came up, and later on she told me that she had to keep this crowd going, and it was tough because she had to sing songs that they could sing along to. She had to keep the crowd kind of going. And
this is a pretty thankless task, being the person singing before the Beatles come out.
So after she got off the stage, then they call on me to go up there, and I was introduced, and I thought, well, I'll tell a few things about the Beatles. And, of course, everything that I said, Paul McCartney is not married. He told me he's not, I told all the things that happened at the press conference. And when I talked to him, I would relate. Well, and, of course, they screamed each time I mentioned one of their names. So then I kept looking around, and they're not coming in. So how long am I going to have to fill? That was the scariest time of my life, to have to fill some more when they're waiting for the Beatles. They don't want to see me up there. So finally, I saw him come in, and all I said is the Beatles. Nobody heard that. But then the guys from the Beatles, sound man and they grabbed me and showed me which way to get off the stage. So I wasn't up on stage with them. Yeah.
Well, and in the aftermath of the show, you had, if I'm not mistaken, a van full of stuff that people sent to you hoping you would get it to the Beatles. What were the kinds of things people sent to this influential disc jockey?
All kinds of stuffed animals, rings, bracelets, really nice gifts, bottle of champagne. They had cakes, beautiful cakes. And I asked Paul, I said, what do you want to do with, all this stuff? And he said, well, we'd like to keep the mail. We'll take that with us. But all the rest of it give to Children's Hospital or an orphanage. And Ringo said, I'll take the champagne.
Well, was there ever a point when you were around the Beatles on those couple of days where things weren't loud and crazy?
Well, yeah, in their hotel room, of course, when I did a short interview with them and we had some pictures taken, it was very quiet then. Paul was really the spokesperson for the group, which I guess we all imagine. And George was very serious. Ringo was clowning around, and John didn't say anything. He was, he still had laryngitis, and he just wasn't feeling good. He was on medication. And
people referred to you as Beatle Bob, and the reference goes that you were the fifth member of the Beatles, at least as far as Milwaukee goes.
Yeah, because there were about 150
right,
Beatles.
Exactly. when you think about those couple of days that you were around this, how important was it in the scheme of your years in radio?
Oh, it was huge. I was introduced the other night, and someone said that I rode the coattails of the Beatles back in the 60s, and I'm still riding them today. But it's really strange because in 68, new management came into WOKY, and the Beatles didn't have anything to do with me staying. The management said, and they were from New York and L.A., And they said, we're going to keep – they fired everybody. And we're going to keep Bob because he knows how to pronounce Oconomowoc. He knows the area. And he's the only one that's from Milwaukee. So we're going to keep him. So then I had to prove myself, you know, all over again. And but they didn't think anything about the Beatles. That was no big deal.
Were you ended after you introduced them, did you end up backstage while the concert was going on?
No. No, I did not. I was on the side of the stage, and I couldn't even hear anything.
That was going to be my question, whether you could hear the concert.
No, not even. I was sitting with Jackie DeShannon, and I asked her, I said, is this the way it is all over? She said, yep, same thing in every city. Of course, their equipment was not what it is today, too. You know.
Do you think was there something special about that tour? I mean, it was the Beatles' first tour in the United States, and maybe it seems like it was at the most innocent moment of Beatlemania.
That's correct. Yeah, 65 and 66 were not the same, and of course they didn't go to as many cities either, just a few cities.
They and things, at least the Beatles were starting to get by 65 and 66, obviously disillusioned with touring.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah, they were fighting among themselves, and you know there were little squabbles and things, and so they said, "Nah, it's not fun anymore."
So, from an outsider's perspective, did it look like they had fun in Milwaukee?
Oh yeah, they were having a ball then. In Indianapolis, they even got a chance to ride around and, you know, tour around a little bit.
Raul, we were chatting about this the other day when we were setting up this interview. You were kind of amazed at how vivid these memories might have been, especially given your own memories of your first real concert.
Yeah, I was amazed because after I kept meeting these people and they were telling me stories about, you know, what the girl in front of them was doing and the girl with the glasses coming off and how everybody was screaming on the way. I rewound to my first concert experience, which was I thought was pretty amazing, which was James Brown back in his heyday. And it had to have been in 64, 65. And I couldn't remember anything. I mean, and maybe it's my mind, but I think it's, you know, for me, it was one of a series of events that happened to me that perhaps weren't as significant as the Beatles in these people's lives, but most definitely it made an impact on their lives.
Bob Berry, do you have any recollection of what the next concert was that you announced after the Beatles concert?
I do not.
Were any of them the same ever again?
No.
Well, we are thrilled that you made time for us. Bob Berry, thanks so much. And Raul Galvan, thanks so much as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Raul Galvan is manager of program production for Milwaukee Public Television and writer, producer, and director of The Beatles Invade Milwaukee, which airs tonight, Thursday, and Saturday on MPTV. Bob Berry was the Milwaukee DJ at WOKY who emceed the Beatles concert here 50 years ago Thursday. You can see a picture of him with the Beatles at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then we'll go further back in time to when the most popular spectator sport in America was walking. Really? This is Lake Effect from WUWM.